Tonight we're going to continue in Philippians chapter 2. And this morning we're going to be looking at uncharacteristic service. Uncharacteristic service. Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 25 through 30. Verses 25 through 30. Before we read those, let's go ahead and pray and ask God for His blessing on the message and the word. Father, we thank You that You are in control of all things, that You are the mighty God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and we ask that You would, Lord, work through Your word today. We ask that our hearts would be open and obedient to the message. Father, that we would see that, Lord, weekly we have needs, daily we have needs to be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And I pray that You would help us today to, as we listen, be hearers of the word and doers of the word, both. Lord, help us not to fall short of obedience by just hearing and then going forth and not living out what You have been working on in our life. Pray, Lord, that You would give me wisdom as I go through this. Help me to have clarity of thought, and pray that our minds would be clear of distraction from all the things that tend to distract us in a Sunday morning message. Lord, help us to put off all those things that in our minds that want to crowd in. It's easy to be thinking of other things, and I pray that You would help us to just take time aside to focus on Your word and in this morning hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Verse starting in Philippians 2, verses 25 through 30, it says this: "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." This passage here, we looked last week at the example of Timothy and how he was, Paul said of him, "There you can't find a man like-minded like Timothy who will naturally care for your state." That's in verse 20. Paul said, verse 21, a very popular verse that many Christians know, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus." So Paul said of Timothy, you can't find too many guys like that. Now, I don't know if Epaphroditus is a close second or what you might say, but Epaphroditus is also explained as a helper, as one who helped Paul. You know, it is, as I labeled or gave the title to this message, uncharacteristic service, I see that these guys are uncharacteristic to the norm in serving other people. And that's why I said that. I was looking through some information and I found this report. A reporter in San Bernardino, California, arranged for a man to lie in the gutter on a busy street. Hundreds of people passed the man, but not one stopped to help him or even show sympathy. That's kind of the world we live in today, isn't it? Somebody can be laying in the gutter, but just people just walk by as if that's just a normal thing. And if he's laying in the gutter, most of us think, well, he did something to deserve laying in the gutter, and so just let him lay there. That's how most people think today. Another one was newspapers across the country a few years ago told how 38 people watched a man stalk a young lady and finally attack her. And none of the spectators even picked up a phone to call the police. I mean, it's sad, the country that we live in. And we would call ourselves a Christian nation, but things like that can go on even in our nation. A couple of teenagers in Detroit discovered a woman in a telephone booth who had suffered a heart attack. They carried her to a nearby house and rang the bell asking for help. The only reply they received was, "Get off my porch and take her with you." I mean, the crassness, the hardness of the hearts of the people in our society. We've all heard of things like this. A Kentucky doctor was driving down the highway to visit a patient when he saw an accident take place. He stopped and gave aid to the injured and then made his visit. What happened next? One of the drivers sued him just because he stopped and helped. Is it possible today to be a good Samaritan? Is that even possible? Must everybody harden his heart in order to protect himself? Perhaps sacrifice and service are ancient virtues and somehow do not fit into our so-called modern civilization. It's worth noting that even in Paul's day, mutual concern was not a popular virtue. Even back then, it wasn't the norm. The norm was not, as we looked earlier at Philippians 1:21, most of you probably know Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ," what? "To die is gain." The first part of that is, "For me to live is Christ." And to live like Christ, we have to care about those around us. Even those who may be laying in the gutter. Even those that have maybe destroyed their life. This is the testimony of Paul, and it seems to be, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." We know that's Paul's testimony, and it seems to be Timothy's and Epaphroditus' testimony as well. They seem to be living for Christ. In Philippians 2:4, we read, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." The things of others. Maybe sound like a broken record recently. I mean, we've been quoting that and preaching on this concept for a few weeks now. That's because it's so easy to hear, but hard to put into practice. Think about that. It's easy to hear, but hard to put into practice. I hope as we memorize these verses that it's not just Sunday morning exercise. That we actually put into practice what the Scripture says, that we are to start thinking about others. We don't always think of what's best for me. I think of one time this is a long time ago, the kids were small. We were traveling out to Saskatchewan from Michigan. And we were all cramped. We had four kids in the back of a Ford. We rented a car. A Ford, I can't remember the name of it. Ford Taurus. We rented a Ford Taurus. And all four kids were sitting in the back seat. Not quite 100% legal today, probably. I don't know if it was 100% legal back then either. No car seats. All four kids are sitting in the back seat. And we're driving straight through to go out to Saskatchewan. Who knows where Saskatchewan is? Just a few people. That's north of North Dakota. How many know where North Dakota is? Hopefully you know where that is. North of North Dakota. As we're coming around Chicago, probably heading north out of Chicago, there's a car sitting beside the road. And it's like, It's a dark night. Most nights are dark, but you know how some nights are darker than other nights. This is a really dark night. And I was like, there's a family standing around, and they're a different ethnicity. So, I mean, in Chicago, and we're like, oh, and I pull over to the side. Like, I don't like to do this, but there's a family standing there, and they don't look like they know what they're doing. I get my mag light out of the, I've taken my mag light with me, and I get that out, and I carry it out there, and I say, do you need some help? We need to change our tire, and we don't know how. Okay. So I get the stuff out of the trunk. Then one of them asked me, do you want me to hold the light? No, I'll hold it. I'm still not being completely, you know. But I changed their tire. They're back on the road in 10 minutes. We're back on the road in 10 minutes. But you know what? I had to make myself vulnerable to help somebody. I've done that over and over again, stopped and helped people beside the road that looked like they didn't know what they were doing. In Burlington, Ontario, there's an elderly lady standing beside the road in the dark night, and nobody's stopping. An elderly lady standing beside her car. I pull over, and she says, I don't have a phone, and my tire's flat. I said, I'll help you. I'm in a suit. I'm in a suit just like this. And I'm going to the hospital to deal with a family that's grieving because their loved one's about ready to pass away. But it's raining, and I stop, and I change her tire, and she's back on the road in 10 minutes. I got good at changing tires. I stopped and helped these ladies who in Alberta do the same thing. And all those times, you feel a little vulnerable because you never know what might happen. But, and ladies, you have to be careful. And I know these days things are not always what they seem, but you know, to help people that are in need, we sometimes have to make ourselves a little vulnerable. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Him in the place, I got notes over here, but I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think of Jesus Christ. And as He worked with His disciples, what did He know about one of them? What was He going to do? He was going to betray Him. He was going to stab in the back, you might say, figuratively. What did Jesus continue to show to that man? Compassion and love. He didn't treat him any different than He did the rest of them. He just kept showing him love and compassion, even though He knew that man was a backstabber. He just kept showing him love. You know, and He made Himself vulnerable to help. In this passage that we read through, Epaphroditus makes himself vulnerable to help. He's helping, doing so much, working so hard, that he gets to the point where he's sick, almost to the point of death, just to help serve. He was serving his home church. He had gone to help Paul, and he's serving his home church by being sent out to help Paul. He's serving Paul while he's there, and we don't know everything that he did, but he's serving Paul. But he works so hard to the point where he gets put in the hospital. I don't know if they had a hospital, but if they had a hospital, he's in the hospital, and he's in the critical care ward. Because he's almost ready to die. And the reason he's almost ready to die is because he cared so much about other people and doing things for other people that now he's almost to the point of death. He's almost to the point where he's going to pass on. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. Nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 30 says, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. Not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Uncharacteristic service. It's uncharacteristic for people to serve others to the point that they almost die. Most people pull back and say, wait a second, I'm getting a little tired here. I didn't get my nap today. I'm going to have to pull back and take a nap before I go help other people and do things for other people. But he's like, oh, there's no time for naps. There's no time to even eat right. There's no time for, I've got to help Paul. Maybe Paul's saying, we need to go see this person. We need to go. We're not told exactly what that service was. It could have been by the time he made the long journey, the long dangerous journey, that he was already starting to get sick. Just traveling in those days, that type of travel would get you to the point where you could be sick just from the travel. It's not like hopping in your Buick and setting the cruise and leading back. I like to travel. I don't know back in his day if I would have liked to travel so much. I love getting in a car and traveling. Give me a 24-hour road trip and I'll be happy. Some of you are thinking, well, what do you mean? I don't even like getting in the car. I love to travel. But that wasn't that. I don't think I would have liked to travel because you know what? There were robbers. You had to go on vessels that sank. You had to do all these things. And none of us would have liked to go on a cruise back then. You know, everybody wants to go on a cruise today. You know, I want to go on a cruise because they feed me and they do all these things. Nobody wants to go on a cruise. Nobody wants to be on the cruise back then. They're like, man, this is a necessary thing to go on this ship, but I don't think it's not a very safe thing to do. But Epaphroditus was saying, you know, I'm willing to go. I'll give it my all. I'll do whatever it takes. Because Paul's suffering in prison in Rome, and the church in Philippi, since Paul had started that church, it seems Philippi had been sending him money, what we'd call missions today. They'd been sending him money to help him complete his task. And it had been a long time. The Philippians hadn't been able to keep up with that support. They hadn't been able to keep up with giving him the money that he needed to complete the ministry. So now they're saying, hey, we need to send some money, and we're going to send Epaphroditus. Notice at the end of verse 30, it says, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. What's Paul, that sounds negative in our translation. That sounds negative. Paul wasn't necessarily being negative. He was just saying, you haven't been able to give me money in quite a long time. You've lacked that. That hasn't happened. And now you're sending him. It's not negative. He says, you're sending him now to take care of that. And so his whole purpose behind his trip was to help Paul. And the church wanted to help Paul. They wanted to, you know, that's uncharacteristic as well. People, you know, it's easy for people, once somebody's out of sight, out of mind. He's gone. You know, I know he was instrumental in leading us to the Lord and starting this church that we all benefit in now, but now out of mind. We don't. That's easy to do with our missionaries at times. Well, they're out of mind. They're on the other side of the world. They should be able to get by. But uncharacteristically, this church was helping. Epaphroditus was part of this church, and they had a mind to help. Epaphroditus had a mind to help, to reach out to those around. You know, it was the same in Israel in the Lord's day. It was the same. Jesus tells a story of the Good Samaritan. We just read that. It seems in the Lord's day there were few also that really cared more for others. There's few that would stop beside the road and help those who had a flat tire. There are few that would stop and help somebody who looks like they had a great need. There are few that would make themselves vulnerable. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 for a minute here. Verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And notice this is what the lawyer says. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. Now, as we come up, thou hast answered right, this do, that thou shalt live. But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, saith unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? The lawyer was interested in two things, trapping Jesus in his words and justifying his own behavior. Justifying his own behavior. Let me ask you a question. How often, when we see people in need, do we justify our own behavior? The lawyer had to see other people in need, but he was interested in justifying his unrighteous behavior. He was interested in justifying that I don't help that person in the street. I don't help that person alongside the road. I don't help others because I want to justify myself. Religious people who don't care for others the way they should are often more interested in justifying their lack of care than they are in helping those in need. There could be a multitude of reasons why a person will not help another. We're not told exactly why the priest and the Levite did not help. We just told that they didn't, and that there was one who did. What are some reasons why we might not help other people? You might say, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. In our days, there's always something more important than helping somebody else. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, how often is our phone more important than other people around us? How often when you're talking with somebody is it like, oh, wait a second, my phone? You know, we'll be talking to somebody face-to-face, and somebody, our phone goes ding, or whatever yours does. Wait, oh, I gotta check my phone. I'm too busy. I was talking to my wife and I said, I really wish we could go back when the phone was tied to a cord. You know, and you left house and the phone stayed there. You know, wouldn't that be nice if the phone just stayed at home? Guess where my phone is today? Sunday mornings, I leave my phone at home. If you want to call me, in Sunday morning, you're not getting me on my phone. So if you text me or something and I've already left the house, you wonder why I don't respond. It's because at least on Sunday mornings, my phone is just, that's not going to be a distraction to me. But so many times in our lives, there's so many things that they become more important than the people around us. And I think technology is an area where that is key. That is something that people say, oh, you know, I was just telling them a great need I have, but they're more interested in some update or some text. You know, people know when you listen to them, if you care. My time is too important. So many times the activities in my life are more important than helping others. His position in life, he's just a commoner. You know, the priest and the Levite, they might have just looked at this man and say, well, he's just a commoner, and we've got high and lofty things to do. And so we've got, I mean, I've got a meeting at the temple. I've got to get to that meeting at the temple. I've got other people. I've got to get to the to whatever meeting. I don't have time for this person. Sometimes we just don't want to get involved in people's lives. We don't care enough about others that we just don't want to get involved. You know, I think one of the things that might have been interesting here is that they might have thought, I don't want to be here if the thieves come back, because that would make me what? Vulnerable. If the thieves come back, or they might be waiting there in the rocks, I better hurry on. That person is not worth my time because I will make myself vulnerable. He should have been more careful. That guy laying there, he should have been more careful. I don't really like other people anyway. How many of us, that's the reason? We really just don't like other people. What do you think the lawyer would have done? That's coming after Christ. What do you think he would have done? But he willing, verse 29, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? We're not told, but obviously Jesus is challenging the lawyer's beliefs. And presumably what he might have been apt to do, presented in, if the same circumstances came about to him, presumably he would have walked on by too. Because Jesus was challenging his beliefs. I'm sure that the lawyer's definition of neighbor was much more narrow than what the Lord was presenting. But the story was meant to reveal that loving your neighbor is a much broader concept than most religious people are willing to accept. Loving your neighbor goes farther than what we normally would think applies to us. And you cannot truly love God and not keep his greatest commandments. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Let's go on and read here in Luke. It says, verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked. He was at least a little bit more interested. He kind of looked at him and then passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Jesus tells the lawyer, go and do likewise. As we see in this passage of the Good Samaritan and Philippians 2, loving your neighbor can cost you. It can cost you. And it can make you vulnerable. It can cost you your health. There's been many missionaries who have gone out to the mission field and it's cost them their health. They were put themselves in a vulnerable position. Many times they go into countries where there's diseases that we've never even heard of. The guy who was our mission director when I was at first at Bible College, Dr. Morgan Roth, he's passed on long since. He's in the presence of the Lord. But we never saw his wife. He had quit the fire department in New York and went to Bolivia with his wife as a missionary, reaching out into the tribes. And he'd spent a lot of time there, but eventually his wife, I forget the name of the disease, but a rare disease, his wife caught this disease, and she never regained her health. He moved back, and they moved back, and she stayed at home. You never saw Mrs. Morgenroth. But he had such a love for God that even for the rest of his life, he spent trying to teach young people. And many people, many young people from that era when he was a missions director are now in South America reaching tribes with the gospel of Jesus Christ because of his love and his willingness to be vulnerable, to put himself in a place where his wife ended up being sick for the rest of his life, but he still loved God. He still knew it was the right decision. And she would say the same thing. Even though she was bedridden. Let me ask you the question. Who would you be in the story of the Good Samaritan when it comes to helping others? Which person would you be? Would you be the priest or the Levite? Or would you be the Good Samaritan? As we look at the passage in Philippians chapter 2, we see a couple of guys who, by what Paul says about them, their whole idea of life was to serve other people, no matter what it cost. To be vulnerable. Paul says, verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary. I don't think he wanted to send him back to send to you Epaphroditus. He's my brother. He's my companion in labor. He's my fellow soldier. How many guys out on the battlefield want to send that guy away? I got to send him back home to collect war bonds. You don't want to send that guy back home. You want that guy in the front lines with you. He's familial. He's my brother. He's like a family to me. In work, he's a companion. He's a fellow soldier. He doesn't run when the battle gets tough. He's out there working. Even though he's your messenger, he ministered to the point of Paul's needs, to the point where he got sick himself. And then when he gets sick, this is Epaphroditus, when he gets sick, almost to the point of death, who's he worried about? Verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard he'd been sick. It bothered him. He cared so much about others that when he found out that the Philippians knew that he was sick, it bothered him so much that it was like, oh, this is a stress. They think I'm sick still, and they're worried about me, and he's worried about them. What do you do for people like that? Verse 29, receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Why do we honor missionaries that are out there doing the work when they come back from the field? Why should you honor them? Because they're out there making themselves vulnerable for the cause of Christ to do your lack of service, in a sense. You can't go teach mission field. You can't go to Africa or to Atlanta or to, now my mind goes blank, but she tried to tell me, but all the other places that we have missionaries, you know, we can't do that. But we should honor those when they come back who do. Because they're sacrificing their lives. It is different living, even in Canada. It's different. You're not living in your home country anymore, and you know it. And people go to, how many think it's easy living in South Africa or Chad or some of those other places. It's not. But they're willing to go all in to do right. Because they care for people. Let me ask you again. Which person would you be? Would you be like the Levite or the priest or the Samaritan or Timothy or Paul or Epaphroditus? Do you love other people? It tells whether you love God. Do you love God? Is that something that you truly love God? It shows in how you love other people and willing that you're willing to give yourself for them. Lord, help us, I pray, because we are so often not willing to help other people. We're not willing to be vulnerable. We're not willing to put ourselves at any risk, even in a relationship. Help us to have just a desire to love people, even if they've made wrong decisions in life. We've all made wrong decisions. We've all in need of God's grace. Some people just show it more, Lord. Help us to have a great desire to love you and by extension love other people. Help us to take this passage that we're memorizing seriously. Help us to think of others before self. Lord, we need your grace to do this. Father, there's some maybe here today that are struggling with even the concept. Self is maybe so ingrained in their life that just the concept of helping others is hard. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their heart and their life. Lord, many of us know the right thing to do, but are tempted to walk by on the other side. Just like the Levite and the priest, they knew the right thing to do, but we make excuses. Father, help us to stop making excuses when we see those in need, and help us to just reach out and show Christ's love to this world. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.